Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with James. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your personal stories in the last episode. In this episode today, I want to know more about your current ministry. But before we talk about current ministry, can you tell us about your prior ministry experience?
Yeah, so I alluded to it in the last podcast that very early on in my discipleship, became passionate about evangelism. So at my original home church, got very involved in the different evangelism ministries there, and even kind of helped start some projects while I was there. At Hepzibah Baptist in Wendell, and a few things that we would do, we would do like homeless ministry. Like once a week, we would go downtown Raleigh, just ministering to the homeless and developing friendships with them, and through those friendships, just trying to share the hope of Christ with them. And so we did that. We did some nursing home ministries. We did some. What do you call it? Like Baptist Children's Home, like kind of thinking of in James where he says pure religion is this, or undefiled religion is this, to visit the widows and orphans in their time of need. And so we did that, and we tried to fulfill that through a ministry that we called Pure. And at that time, so it was reaching out to the homeless, reaching out to the widows, to the those in the retirement community, and then to children who they might not be technically orphans, but they were living in these Baptist children's homes, and they really needed some godly influences in their life. And so we did a lot of that. We did a lot of door-to-door evangelism. We just kind of had a vision of every home in Wendell at least having some kind of exposure to the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so for, I don't know, for 5 years plus, we just every Monday almost, we knocked on doors in Wendell, and we had a lot of good gospel conversations. That was like kind of before I had that, that transformation of discipleship. I mentioned that I learned from Dr. Robinson. And back then, I realized like our goal was just to kind of knock on as many homes as possible. But what I've learned under Dr. Robinson, and really just from the scriptures, Luke 10, is that we just really need to look for that person of peace. Mm. And so I realized that so many times knocking on those doors back in 10 years ago, that I probably had met some persons of peace, and just I was too focused on reaching the neighbor next door, you know, getting to the next door down. Mm-hmm. And then at that time too, like as just the Lord just started to broaden my horizons and start getting me to think about the nations, I started through a ministry at NC State called SIT, mm-hmm. which was actually started by Sammy Ju, our host. I started getting involved in that, and that was probably like, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. I forget exactly. And through that, kind of ministering to, I was kind of cutting my teeth on international ministry, and that was some of the first exposure I ever had to ministering to South Asian students as well as other Asian students.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, in the previous episode, I think you mentioned some. But could you tell us about how you became involved in South Asian ministries?
Yeah, so I shared in the last episode that I had seen that map of the global status of evangelical Christianity that really started to burden me for the need to reach South Asia and South Asians with the gospel. And so as I started asking myself, is there any way that I can get involved with that here locally? The Lord kind of brought my attention to SIT at NC State. So I started kind of getting involved there with you, Sammy. And then, you know, the Lord just at that time just also started sending other South Asian friends into my life. Mm-hmm. And then we applied to go serve with the IMB. And in 2012, we moved to South Asia, and we served there for a time as a family.
Mm-hmm. James, what is your strategy to reach South Asians for Christ?
Yeah, so we say it needs to start with befriending the peoples. You know, for us, I mean, we live in Morrisville, and so we've got, you know, Morrisville's now like 30-40% South Asian. So many of my neighbors are South Asian. So for us, it's just like, it's just, you know, being good neighbors to them, befriending them. For those of you out there that you might not have neighbors who are South Asian, I would say just being intentional, you know, chances are if you live in an urban center in North America, there's going to be South Asians in your city somewhere or another. So that would say, like, if you're if you have South Asian coworkers, just be intentional about trying to befriend them. Or you notice that the gas station that you go to is operated by a South Asian, or the bank, or you name it. So many you know, Gujarati Indians especially are just excellent businessmen and women, and many many small businesses across our country are owned and operated by Gujarati Indians. And so just as you frequent these places, just be intentional to try to befriend them. And going to the restaurants, like Sammy shared in the last episode, just by even going to an Indian restaurant, like rather than just being there to be served, like Jesus says, like, I came not to be served, but to serve. And so whenever I go to a restaurant, like an Indian restaurant, I frequent them maybe at least once a week or so. And some of them, I've really developed some great relationships with the staff just by, you know, wanting to serve them. Like, I ask them how I can pray for them. I take interest in them. And I've had so many of them through the restaurants share with me, like, wow, James, you're the only person that's ever asked me my name or asked me how I was doing. And and really, like, many of our South Asian neighbors in America are extremely affluent. They're here as they're professionals, they're well educated. And even in their religious hierarchy, you know, if they're Hindu, they might be high caste. So they're really on the upper echelon of their society. But like these restaurant workers, the story is very different. They're very marginalized. They're not making a lot of money. Most of them are separated from their family. Most of them are living here. But they have their family, their wife and their children are back in India. Mm. And they're just making whatever they can to send it back to India to give their family there a slightly better life. And so they tell me, my friends that I've made through the restaurants, like, man, yeah, you're the only person that's ever taken interest in us. Like, Americans, Indians, whoever eats here, like, they don't ever ask us, you know, like, our name and how we're doing. So just being very, very intentional where you're at and wanting to befriend them. And then usually if I've hit it off with somebody, whether it's in a restaurant or in a store, I usually just ask them, hey, do you have WhatsApp? You know, WhatsApp is an app out there that everybody from South Asia that has a smartphone has WhatsApp, but a lot of Americans don't. And so the moment that I mention that to them, they're like, oh, yes, sir, you use WhatsApp? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, they're like, oh, let me get your number. And so I'll always try to get their number as well, so that I can do the follow-up with them. And then I'll try to find a time that works for them to visit with them. It might mean me just going to their restaurant whenever they have a break and just drinking tea with them there. Or I try as best as I can to get them over to my house or to get into their home. It can be hard scheduling appointments, I've found, but just finding out like where they live, where they work, and just being very intentional to actually go, and kind of sometimes uninvited, unexpected, which for an American would be very like a put off, but for South Asians, like the culture is very hospitable. So I've never felt like I've offended anybody by coming to their home uninvited. And usually if I come, I'll bring like a small little gift with me, like a box of chocolates or something. And usually they're inviting me into their home, and then we're getting inside, and I'm starting that relationship with them.
Wow, that's great. That's very exciting. Do you have any exciting stories of what God is doing at your ministry, fruits in your ministry?
Yeah, so there's a lot, really. Like one thing just this last month or so, I mean, over this last year, really, one of these restaurant workers, his name, I'll just call him Kumar. I always ask them, you know, to get to spiritual things. I always ask, how can I pray for them? And most of the time with my Hindu friends, they're just like, oh, I'm fine, you know, or they'll just say, you know, pray for peace on earth or something. Mm-hmm. And so this guy who works at a restaurant, I met him probably 2 years ago, and I would go to his restaurant regularly because it's just right down the road from my house. And I would just ask him, you know, every time, how can I pray for you? And he would always just kind of give the same kind of platitude. Oh, I'm fine. But one day he shared with me that that his daughter, who at the time was 17 years old, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we really just started just praying hard for his family. And I shared with our church. I had the opportunity to kind of share with our whole church body one morning about his story and about his daughter. And little did I know that there was a family in our church that the wife was actually battling breast cancer for the second time. And so we had never met them, but she sought us out, and we were able to connect her and her family with Kumar and his family. And first off, it was just we kind of met Kumar at his restaurant, and then we were able to arrange it so that Kumar and his family had us over for tea, and we brought our friends from our church over as well, and it was just such a blessed time. We had a time where we just laid hands on his daughter, just prayed for her, and then it was just very natural for us to just get to the gospel with them. And we just, there's a gospel tool that we like to use called the Three Circles, where you just kind of go through, you talk about like how there's so much brokenness in the world. I didn't draw it out for them, but just kind of verbally, I kind of shared that same story, which it's really the story of the Bible, the grand narrative, you know, that our world was not created to have all this suffering in it, and that's not God's desire. And through Christ, he is restoring the creation, and one day we'll fully restore it in heaven, where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. So I just got to share that with his daughter and with his family, and I think it was well received. And then the family from our church has been just keeping up with the follow-up with her and the family. So yeah, that's just one of the many amazing stories that God has given us. And then another thing I would share, like, yeah, we do a lot of it ourselves. Like we consider ourselves like resident missionaries, but we've been able to really reproduce ourselves in, you know, in an increasing number of people, like this family from our church and others who are starting to get involved themselves, you know, because the harvest is plentiful, labors are few, and we really need to just multiply our efforts here.
That's right. Well, related to that, how do you raise up team and leaders?
Yeah, so we do have a group that meets in our home on a weekly basis where we use that time. It's you know, kind of like a traditional small group that meets in a home, but we're very focused. We're very intentional on, yeah, we're using this time to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable, and also to train one another on how to best reach our South Asian neighbors and friends. So that's one way that that we've been able to build team and to really multiply our efforts. And you're welcome to join us if you'd like.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Well, my last question is, do you see any challenges you face or you're facing at your ministry now?
Oh, there's always challenges. You know, on both sides, there's challenges with reaching the lost. There's also challenges with mobilizing the church, you know. Both of those have their distinct challenges. You know, it can be, it's hard soil. We work predominantly among Hindus, but some Muslims as well. I mean, actually South Asia, there's more Muslims in South Asia than in the entire Middle East. There can be challenges like getting to the next step, there being kind of, you know, kind of hard-heartedness toward the gospel, or one common challenge, especially for Hindus, is like pluralism, where it's very easy for them to just say, "Oh yeah, Jesus," you know, and cause add him to the pantheon of their many gods, and for them to not think of Jesus like exclusively as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but just kind of adding him to a list of other gods. But then with the church as well, you know, it can be challenging. I mean, because we are, like, the culture is so different. Even with South Asians living in America, I mean, the culture is still very different from traditional Southern American culture. And so, you know, there's a level of sacrifice that needs to happen. And for us to, you know, usually we've just got like a few like champions who like really get it and who really want to be involved. And then the majority of people we talk to are just like, "Oh, that's good for you. You're the expert on this, you know, but I could never do it," or, you know, we'll pray for you kind of thing. When we see that we've got, you know, 40,000 plus South Asians living in the triangle with such a large percentage, where people are living among and working among these people, we say you cannot be blind to the fact that they are living and working among you and you're passing by them every day. And so you might not have a specific focus on reaching them, but we should all have that universal focus for everybody around us, like, you know, hearing the gospel. And so sometimes that can be a challenge, but God has blessed us with many people within our churches, with all that being said, that have really kind of caught our vision and are engaging on a regular basis.
Amen. That's great. Thank you. Well, thank you, James, for sharing about your ministry. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find the NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.